Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vanderkur. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning, Chris.
This is quite a significant anniversary, and those of us who lived through it will never forget it.
And you would be speaking of you.
I would.
And the anniversary is the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr.
You bet.
Well, we're going to take that up in a way that hopefully is not going to recapitulate some of the real sadness around that event, but to take that and to do something better that Dr. King wanted to have happen, and that was planned before he was assassinated. 47 years ago, the Poor People's Campaign sought to gain economic justice for people of all colors, genders, ages, and sexual orientations. It was organized by Martin Luther King Jr. and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. It was planned for spring 1968 and then carried out following King's assassination. Many of the issues haven't changed in almost five decades, and tonight, several Hawaii coalitions will mark today's anniversary with the People's March at the state capitol. The Very Reverend Walter Brownridge is the Dean of the Cathedral of St. Andrews and one of the organizers. He joins us this morning. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, Beth Ann. Good to see you, Chris.
You know, when we look at this date, and even though there are some of us who weren't cognizant of any of this before, because some of us weren't here, but to certainly note that this had a very profound effect on people who did experience it. But beyond that, the fact that in some ways what Dr. King was trying to accomplish might have gotten just sort of, you know, slid away for a little bit, and after five decades almost, these same issues keep resurfacing. The issues of social justice, that's the newer term that people like to use. Specifically for Hawaii, as we look at tonight's event at the Capitol and what several coalitions are hoping to accomplish, this goes far beyond just a lot of the attention that's been paid to the minimum wage.
Yes. Well, you know, the thing is, and I was a child at the time of King's assassination, and a lot of us think that Dr. King wouldn't want people today to reminisce about his death and the sadness of it. I mean, it's unavoidable, but he would want to challenge people, you know, what are you doing about the conditions? He was in Memphis because of a sanitation worker strike, the poorest workers in the city of Memphis. He was planning this Poor People's March for later because he saw that not only racism, militarism, and poverty were the great ills of American society. And so he felt that that was the great hope for all of America to confront that. In Hawaii, you know, you've got a situation where if you work 40 hours a week but you're at that minimum wage, you're going to be earning, your income is 16% below the poverty line. It's one of the factors that causes Hawaiians to have over 17%, 17.3, I believe, of our state is at that poverty level. It's the ninth poorest in the nation. So this is a challenge. Some state, you know, it depends how you count it, but because of the cost of living, and some state legislatures believe we're have the lowest wage and sort of real income of what you're earnings can supply. So the coalition of which I'm part of, Faith Action for Community Equity, a lot of unions, Common Cause, the Appleseed Foundation, have been promoting a living wage, not as a panacea. It's actually still not a living wage for what it is to cost in Hawaii, but for people not only in the restaurant and hotel industries, but home health care workers and so many other places who don't make a decent income because the minimum wage here is so low and hasn't been increased in a while. So this march is to commemorate Dr. King's death in the way of carrying on his legacy, of caring for the least among us in the community. So that's why we're doing this evening.
Or at least trying to carry on that legacy. In some cases, that's been thwarted. I mean, the fact that we've gone 10 years without any increase in the minimum wage has many of those who are supporting a minimum wage hike or phase in. But still looking at how that's phased in and the other components of what it means to have some basic parts of your life covered, there's still some empty there.
Yeah, I'm a faith leader. I might have been a lawyer and I may know something about policy, but as a faith leader, you know, there will be people, economists and others can talk about some of the particulars. And this question, I know, is contentious now about how long will it take to phase in. We think 4 years is too long. That's too long. And because people in the meantime are going to still be suffering, you know, trying to, you know, get transportation to work, take care of basic needs of health and food and so on. We hope that wise heads prevail, that justice prevails, and we hope, more importantly, that those who have the most funds to lobby and organize against this are not successful. It's nothing personal about those who do well, but it is about really a justice issue for those who care for us. I mean, not just those in the hospitality industry, as I said before, but, you know, people who care for our elderly and infirmed, who want to stay in their homes or who live in nursing homes and so on. It's a challenge.
Well, it's been a challenge for quite a while, as we've seen the inequality and rather the lack of equality in so many ways. But that's more from perhaps a legal standpoint. From a real economic standpoint, inequality has been growing over decades and decades.
Absolutely.
We have an ongoing conversation with Neil Milner about what that looks like in the United States and globally, and how all of this is inextricably linked. So what do we do in Hawaii when we think that we are such a caring community, that we take care of our own, and that we are far away from everybody else, so we have to take care of our own, and yet we see statistics that look like this? What does that say about us?
I think it's a human thing that we want to persuade ourselves that we are different or better. And you said it is a global problem. It's a deep American problem, but it's a Hawaii problem, income inequality. And it's a great ill. This film that Robert Reich narrated called Inequality for All, if you haven't seen it, I really encourage you to, because it doesn't come to Hawaii, but it shows the American context. And then when you look at the statistics in Hawaii, we are not better than any, and in many ways, as we've noted, worse than what happens on the other 48 contiguous states. And I think what it says is that we don't like to confront the uncomfortable or inconvenient truths about ourselves, that we do promote sometimes greed and self-interest over caring for others, that we sometimes may use phrases like aloha and caring for each other. That may be on a personal level, but institutionally and structurally, you know, quoting the Bible here, where your treasure is, there's your heart. And Jesus said that, and that talks about, putting real economic interests. And sometimes that may be slightly uncomfortable for some people who could afford it to give. And give back to the community, and to, in our structures, our laws should say that people who work should earn a decent wage. The workers deserve to be paid at a wage that they can live on.
Well, we wish you all the best with tonight's march.
Thank you. I encourage people to come out 4:00 to the rotunda at the Capitol.
And we'll post all of that on our Facebook page and on HPR2. Thank you for joining us this morning.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
The very Reverend Walter Brownridge is the Dean of the Cathedral of St. Andrews in Honolulu. He's also one of the organizers of tonight's People's March at the State Capitol.